In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today, brothers and sisters, there's the story that's very familiar to us, or it should be, the one about the woman who has the infirmity of 18 years and she's healed. But in this story, there should have been two healings. There was only one. There should have been two. Because the woman was healed, she had had this spirit of infirmity. For 18 years, she couldn't be standing straight up. And the Lord, just with a word, healed her. So he not only healed her body, but he healed her soul, because she was in this condition because of the spirit of infirmity. There was some sin that she needed to repent of, or many perhaps. And the Lord loosed her. The Lord made her able to be able to walk upright. And walking upright in the scriptures is a symbol of righteousness. So the Lord not only healed her body, but also her soul. And then she could follow him. It's a glorious thing. 18 years of not being able to stand up. 18 years in that society of people saying, you're cursed by God. We don't want anything to do with you. 18 years of loneliness. 18 years most likely of hunger, of cold. And the Lord with a word raised her up. This was on the Sabbath day. And so the other one who should have been healed was the ruler of the synagogue. But he, so says Luke, answered with indignation and said, there are 6 days on which you can heal, but not on the Sabbath. But he should have been healed. But he wasn't, because he was just obdurate in his errors, in his pride. They didn't like Jesus. They didn't like Jesus because he was real. And he spoke not as the Pharisees, not as the scribes did. And the people loved him. But those that were in the power, the elites, they wanted the people to love them, or at least to follow them. And Jesus was a problem, because Jesus was so popular and people loved him so that those who were bad really looked bad. So they didn't like Jesus. And so this ruler of the synagogue, who probably was a windbag and hardly knew anything about God, but he was an elite, he was an authority, he ate better food than the other people, than the common people and everything else, he was threatened by our Lord healing on the Sabbath day. He had deep-set pride, arrogance, and probably not a little bit of a desire to control people, like any elite likes to do. He could have been healed of that. He could have recognized that his heart was not right when the Lord healed on this Sabbath day, something that he held dear in a way that was completely unlike the commandments. But instead, he remained sinful and full of anger and judgment. Remember someone who was corrected before? And she didn't act like this. The Samaritan woman, when the Lord really seriously upbraided her and rebuked her for her false belief. And then he even told her, you've had 5 husbands and you're living with a man who's not your husband. So not only was he telling her that her religion was false, but he actually was getting into her personal business. And what did she do? She stayed to speak more, and then she went and called all of her kinfolk and all of the town because she thought this was the Messiah, the Christ. This is the way we should react when we have our precious little ideas challenged. But this leader of the synagogue, he had his precious little idea and he wanted to keep hold of it. So he lost the opportunity. Another time, do you remember with the Gadarenes? When all the pigs went down to the cliff because the demons went into them and the 2 demoniacs were cured, kinsfolk of the town. But the people who kept the pigs were afraid. Their precious little idea, as it were, was being crushed. They didn't like that. They wanted to continue to raise pigs. They're pretty profitable, especially because they were against the law. So I'm sure there was plenty of people that liked to do things that were forbidden. And they wanted to get back to the raising of pigs. So they told Christ to leave, and he did. They didn't even know what they lost. The next day he was gone, and the light that was there was gone. And so for this leader of the synagogue, the light that shone into his dark heart and showed him what he looked like, he put a curtain up so he didn't see it anymore. and went about his business the next day. We have to be aware of when the Lord gets into our business, when he tells us something that's wrong with us, with the wrong way we think, or the things we do, or our attitudes. The attitudes are the worst ones. Because attitudes are not really discrete thoughts. They're just kind of a way that guides your life. And you got a terrible attitude. You got terrible priorities. You got terrible life. Although your life might look pretty good to you, it's far from God. And sometimes God corrects you. Sometimes he corrects you in a gentle way. And sometimes he corrects you with a stick. I think this was pretty gentle. The Lord healed someone on the Sabbath day in the presence of someone who was basically a bigot and an elite. And this person had the opportunity to be stricken in heart and to think, that's a fellow human being. I didn't care anything about her. In fact, I judged her. I didn't even want her to come in the synagogue because I thought she was cursed by God, and I'm not because I'm special. But instead of having that light come in, you shut it out. We can't do that. We have to open ourselves to that light. Sometimes the light hurts a little bit. Sometimes it hurts a lot. So I guess in this particular story, what really strikes me the most is the leader of the synagogue. So I wonder how many times we don't care about someone because of our own precious little ideas. I told you this story yesterday, but I'll just tell it again because it applies, and I think about it all the time. I can't get it out of my mind. And that's the story of a man who I'm going to baptize soon in prison. And he told me that when he went into prison, this was quite some time ago, he served a lot of time. He's going to serve a lot more time. That when he went into prison, he figured that all the things he did that made him go to prison, and also being a bad husband and all the rest, that wasn't with God. And he's correct about that. So he thought, I'm not bringing God into the prison. I don't deserve to bring God into the prison. So he didn't. Didn't read the Bible, didn't pray. His first years in prison, he was pretty much a meathead. He was always getting in trouble. And I met him. He was a little hard in his heart, but there's a real good part in him. And he finally understood that God can be with him. God loves sinners. Now, when he was being a meathead, I'll tell you, he was probably hard to handle. But the reason he was because he had this false idea that God couldn't be with him in prison because he didn't deserve him. And so if we have compassion for people around us, maybe somebody who really looks like they're a bad deal is going to turn out okay. You'll never know. I certainly have seen a few people turn out okay that didn't appear like they were going to. But we have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. We have to have compassion upon our brother. The greatest sin here, this is a terrible sin, to not care about your brother or your sister, instead to care about your precious idea because you're so precious. We can't think like that. That way is the way of death. It would be better if you ate a hamburger every day if you loved your brother and had compassion for him. I'm not telling you to eat hamburgers. It's in the fast. But I am asking you to look in your heart and see whether or not there's any precious ideas. I've got them. Some of them are hard to get rid of. Real hard to get rid of. Funny thing is, sometimes when you know you have a precious idea, it's still hard to get rid of it. This man, I don't think he really knew he had his precious little idea. And when the Lord challenged him, he still didn't understand. He called him a hypocrite. Let us never be a hypocrite. We could be sinners. We could be weak, but let's not be hypocrites. That's a terrible thing. The Lord calls those people who crucified him to be hypocrites because this leader was probably among them. We should not be hypocrites. Sinners, yes. Weak, yes. But not hypocrites, because that's a terrible thing. So let's open our heart a little bit to God. There's people that are bent over all over the place. Everywhere. And can't get up. Maybe they're bent over like the man I told you about who thought he couldn't bring God into the prison. Maybe they're bent over like another one I know who says he thinks God doesn't care. Why should he care? He's lived a pretty wasted life? Why should God care about that? Maybe it's a person who's lost someone and cannot recover from it. A person with addictions. A person who's been a screw-up all their life. A person with mental illness. Whatever it will be. And by the way, when I say mental illness, I guess that's probably all of us should stand up. Because all of us have illness. You can call it mental illness, spiritual illness, whatever you want to do. We're all ill. None of us are whole. And if we're not whole, then we should be able to see our brother who's not whole and feel compassion for them. It's very critical. We have to develop that idea in our heart. Actually, it's not an idea. It should be this whole force within you that makes you be aware of people and be aware of their need. Like this woman who had the infirmity of 18 years. You know somebody like that, I guarantee you. Whether they're physically ill or spiritually ill, you know somebody like that. So I would ask you, what are you doing about it? Okay, maybe you're not some expert, so you can't really give them any kind of expert advice or expert help, but you can love them. You can care about them. You can pray for them. You can give them a kindness. I'll tell you one other prison story. This is someone who's very dear to me. He's been shipped far away now. He was what they call mishoused. And the prison doesn't really care about the prisoners at all. So he was mishoused. What that means is that he had certain medical restriction where he had to be on a bottom bunk. And they move people around all the time for, I don't understand why. They don't understand why. They just do it. And so he was taken out of his cell, and there was no other bottom bunk for him. So they put him in 11 building. 11 building is also where they punish people. And you're in there for 23 hours minimum a day, just locked up. So basically in solitary, more or less. I mean, people are around you. You can talk to them and stuff. But you're by yourself, 23 hours a day, for up to 30 days when you're mishoused. And another little twist of how little the jail cares about people. Another one of my guys was promoted. He had a better classification because he'd behaved so well for so long. So because of that, he was going to go to a different housing unit. But because there was not a bed, they put him in 11 building for 30 days before he got to the new housing unit. So he was punished in order to be commended. That's bizarre to me, but what are we going to do? But this man was very dear to me, and I'd baptized him. He said medical problems and such, and you'd all like him. There's a certain peace about him. By the way, there wasn't peace about him before, but now there is. And so he was in 11 building, and I'd brought the guys food. It's very rare. I do it usually twice a year. And he was shot up in 11 building, so he couldn't get it. And so this is amazing to me. It blows my mind. I brought him food to the 11 building. Sometimes they let me go there. Most of the time they do. Sometimes they yell at me, but I go anyway. And so I'm there, and I have food for him. I have coffee, and I had, I don't remember what. I think I had the Paschal bread. And he was so excited. He was like a child jumping up and down. But he was so excited about the food, but he didn't touch it. Instead, he talked to me for 45 minutes while the coffee got cold. See, he didn't care about the coffee. He didn't care about the bread. He cared about somebody coming over to him and saying, hey, dude, how you doing? That's what he cared about. It amazed me because he was so excited about the coffee. He didn't care. It was getting cold. I said, drink your coffee. And he couldn't drink his coffee because he's just too excited to talk to me. There's a lot of people out there like that. I hope you see them. A lot of people. Let's be like the one who sees those people. Let's not be like this synagogue guy. Notice his name's not given. He's a nobody. Let's be a somebody with God. And let's just care about other people. You care about other people, the other stuff is going to follow. All the stuff that you have trouble with, your sins, your laziness, and all the rest of it. If you care about other people, that stuff's going to start to get better. If you don't care about people, then it don't really matter if it gets better. You're not really better. You just look better. You might even feel better, but you won't be better. You're only better if your heart has a softness for other people. So cultivate that. Look around. I guarantee you, you'll see somebody that's bent over today. I hope you take care of them in some way. God bless you.